Welcome to The Stare Down, sports talk and real estate, with Sean Carpenter of Coldwell Banker in Columbus, Ohio, Bill Risser of Fidelity National Title in Tampa, Florida, and Todd Meininger of Cummins, Georgia. Listen in as they discuss the week in sports and toss in a pinch of real estate too. Now your hosts, Sean, Todd and Bill.
Hey, greetings, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Stare Down. It's our weekly sports talk and real estate podcast, coming just from regular guys across the country who happen to dabble in the real estate industry. I'm Sean Carpenter in Columbus, Ohio, joined by my regular co-host, Bill Risser, down in St. Petersburg, Florida. Bill, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great, Sean. Thank you very much. Nice and chilly here in St. Petersburg, Florida. It's probably 51 degrees right now. We're all in our winter parkas. I teed off this morning, Sean, at 41 degrees, and I'm telling you, in my shorts. I refuse to give in to weather. I might have had six layers on top, but I wore shorts, and by the eighth hole, I was super happy that I did.
Yeah, good call. Good call there. Well, you know, our other regular host, Todd Meininger, is on a cruise this week, enjoying the Caribbean breezes. I guess I'm not sure what cities he's stopping in, but he's not with us, but. In his place, let's just say, we have a new spot on the show called the Loyal Listener Line. Trey Rogers has been on a couple of times. We've had Ryan Bocross and a few other people. Back in the old day, we had Jim Mulaney jump on when we had, what was that thing called, Zoom? It was called Blurb or Blab. But we're joined by a friend of mine who's a up-and-coming realtor rock star here in Columbus, Ohio. He's an agent with Coldwell Banker. Cody Butler, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, Sean. How are you?
Good. Why don't you introduce yourself to the Stare Down audience? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you bring to the table tonight.
Absolutely. So I am a residential agent, as Sean mentioned, here in Columbus. I've been practicing now just over 2 years licensed, and I've lived in Columbus like many of, I guess, the population here. A lot of people are transplants to the area, so been here about 5 years, and I think, you know, we were a little envious of Bill here. I think if we would have been able to tee off this morning, we would have lost our ball. We had quite a bit of snow last night. I probably unexpected, but stuck on the ground. So yeah, absolutely
good. Where'd you grow up?
Right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. So 6.5 hours south of Columbus here. So born in Hilton Head, raised in Charlotte, and now I'm in Columbus. So I'm kind of migrating a little farther north, but I think I'm going to stick in Columbus for quite a while. So,
and we got a robbery here, Bill, because Bill, you're a Dukie. Cody's a Tar Heel. Cody's a fan of the Tar Heels.
That's right. That's right. I think one of the first things I mentioned to Sean last night was Duke going down. So it's always good.
Look at the time here. We got to wrap this show up.
Yeah.
Nice having you here, Cody. Go ahead. Connect him. That's good.
My first and last time on the show. I see.
Yeah, that's great. So have you followed the Panthers since you were little, or because they were quiet?
A little bit. Yes. Growing up down there, it was, somewhat Carolina fan. But my dad's side of the family, being from Eastern Ohio into, Western PA, we grew up Steelers fans. So, probably two strikes there for Bill.
It just gets worse and worse. Don't tell me you're a Yankee fan.
No, good.
All right. You can stick.
Not a Yankee fan at all, but, good. And I followed sports for quite a while. So, love being able to talk and, just kind of listen to some different avenues and ideas.
Good. Well, hey guys, let's get started in the proverbial hot stove league, Bill, as you like to throw around in the a couple big things happen in baseball this week, and let's kind of go in chronological order. Aaron Boone gets named the new manager of the Yankees. Can't say I saw that one coming. He leaves the studio at ESPN, and he obviously was. I enjoyed listening to him. I thought he did a good job of play by play. I enjoyed him when he was on the College World Series. He obviously brings a smart. You know, he comes from a baseball rich family, well known for his home run to beat the Red Sox back in the playoffs. What do you think about that hire to replace Joe Girardi?
But it's not unprecedented bringing a guy out of a booth, let's call it, you know, out of broadcasting and come to manage. Generally when it happened with older guys. Aaron Boone's a young guy. He's not that old, right? Maybe early 40s. If that, I mean, not an old guy. And, I think he brings, a great cross between understanding the game from the booth. He's been watching it and talking about it on Sunday nights forever, it feels like. And he knows a lot of those players, and I think he'll be able to connect with them. So I think there's something positive about that. But it is really weird that he's never had any experience whatsoever at any level. Managed yeah. coaching. Yeah. Nothing with the minors, nothing anywhere. But the Yankees are loaded like they always are. I think he's just got to kind of keep everything together, make some wise pitching decisions. He's got help with all that stuff. I think he'll do fine. I think he'll be a great CEO of the
Going to be interesting to see if he can really make it work next year without Starlin Castro. They lose Starlin Castro, but they also pick up Giancarlo Stanton. Now that trade is not official as we speak tonight. It's still yet to be approved by Stanton, but you expect he would approve it. And did you see the tweet that the judge sent out as soon as the news was announced? He sent out a little gif from Step Brothers that says, "Did we just become best friends?" So I thought that was good. So what do you think, Cody? You said you're not a Yankees fan, but what do you think about matching up the reigning NL MVP with the AL MVP runner-up from this past year, Judge and Stanton, and then you still have Gary Sanchez in the lineup?
Yeah, I think the rich just keep on getting richer. I think with the hiring Boone, it's huge for the Yankees because they're a good young team, and I think they took a couple licks for the past few years. So they're reloading and obviously getting to a point, I think, that they're going to, make another run and build it kind of for the long haul, I would say. So I think it's huge. And look out, AL.
It's probably exactly what the Astros wanted, Astros win the World Series, and then no one's going to look at them. They're going to come back with a good team. So, A little fight breaking out in Jacksonville. Massive flags everywhere. Jacksonville's gonna put this game away. They got a first down, and there's now the referees are throwing hats because they're out of flags to throw.
You have to tell the audience we're recording this on Sunday night, so we're watching the end of the afternoon games, right?
Yeah, end of the afternoon games.
Cody and I have we're watching the Rams and the Eagles. And the Eagles up 37-35, but Goff driving. So just fantastic matchup.
I'll flip over to that one as soon as this one goes official. I've just been really impressed with Jacksonville. Once again, they're up to 30 takeaways now in the season, maybe 31. They're for real because I think have you guys seen a score of the Cardinals Titans game?
It's a Cardinals one. I think it was
12. Did they? Okay.
Yeah, 12-7.
So this will put Jaguars up by a game in the AFC South. Yep. So interesting that they are going to be 9-3. Or 9-4 coming out of this, and they knock off, a pretty good contender, the Seahawks, who are now going to be 8-5, and they really need the Rams to lose to kind of keep in check because they've still played the Rams twice in the last 3 weeks, I believe. So could be interesting. But let's hit on the other story in baseball, Bill. You talked about him a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago even. Shohei Ohtani, why don't you kind of break down what you thought of him signing with the Angels and what their plans are to use him as a DH and a pitcher.
Yeah. 23-year-old superstar from Japan who is really breaking the mold by coming over 2 years too early. Right. There's some rules in place that are kind of funky between Japan and the MLB. And he's taken a huge pay cut of what he probably will earn in 2 years, but he wanted to get here. He wanted to play in the States. He wanted to play in the best, with the best. And he would only come if the teams that are entertaining offers and putting in bids for him, would allow him to play both ways because he has dominated as a pitcher in Japanese league, I think for the Nippon Ham Fighters, but also has, somewhere between 24 and 30 home runs a year. He loves to hit. So he plays there. He plays first base and he pitches here. He'll be a DH and he'll pitch. And it might've been the outfield, but it's going to be a lot of fun to see how this plays out, right? There have been lots of other guys that have tried to do two-way things. Maybe it's been two sports, but I'm trying to think of the last – I don't know the last player. It's got to go back pre-maybe 1950s or 40s who actually you know, wanted to play offense, you know, and defense, we'll call it, for Major League Baseball. So it's going to be fun to watch. He's super talented, super quiet, very shy, doesn't party with his teammates, just wants to go home, kind of a mama's boy. So we'll see if the whole point of staying on the West Coast was to be able to get home quick and, you know, have his family come out and watch. And going to be fun, going to be interesting.
Does he speak through an interpreter, or does he have any type of English background? Is that kind of...
Through an interpreter, I think he understands it like most people. But the interviews I've seen of him were through an interpreter, so I'm sure someone's coming with him that'll travel and do that for him like most of the Japanese players. But my guess is, as young as he is, he probably has a fairly good grasp of English. He just wants to wait till he's able to, you know, make a little more – make it easier, I guess, on everybody before he starts using the interpreter, yeah.
Well, it should be fun. They have an interesting start of the season. I believe they open on the road at Oakland, and they come home and open their home stand against Cleveland. So you're going to have some good teams battling. And it's going to be interesting to see kind of where they slide in the lineup. You know, you got Trout, you got Pujols still. Do they drop him in there third or fourth, or do they put him kind of fifth, sixth, seventh? You know, and then it's like, I mean, another thing, because, you know, you don't see it a lot in the American League, but, you know, that first time he comes high and inside to somebody, let's see if the retaliation comes the next time he bats, in the same series. You know, you see it a lot in the National League. So,
yeah,
see how that plays out. But that's our baseball minute. Let's just hit on hockey and NBA, because I think we'll go heavy on the NFL and college. The Tampa Bay Lightning, Bill, won four in a row. They are 5 points up in the Atlantic Division, playing some good hockey right now.
Yeah, beat Winnipeg last night in overtime. Their Stamkos is leading league in goals, and Kucherov and Stamkos together are like an unbelievable line. Young defenseman Brandon Point. There's all kinds of good stuff that's happening with the Lightning. It's a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, we talk about it all the time when we talk about hockey. You know, when they get on these streaks, it just seems like everything's kind of working, right? Everything kind of flows. And they were, you know, down 3-2 kind of early in the third, quickly tied it up, and then won in overtime. So that was fun to watch last night.
That's awesome. Cody, our Columbus Blue Jackets are in first place in the Metropolitan, which is kind of cool, right? They're 39 points. They have a 2-point lead over Washington. And there's about four or five teams in a logjam, kind of a couple points behind that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where they go, especially after a great year last year, and they just always seem to run into a bust all in the playoffs, which is the Penguins. But you know, it's good for the city, and I think you know, like Bill mentioned, you get on these runs in hockey, especially you for some reason you just kind of get this mantra about a team, and they just take it and run with it. So. I'm very excited to see.
Yeah, you know, we talked a little bit before we started recording. We were at our Columbus Realtors President's Ball. It's kind of the end of the year where the new leadership team takes over and all the award winners are kind of celebrated. And there's Lifetime Achievement Award, $25 million, $10 million, $5 million. And Cody's a new recipient of his $1 million thing, which I tell people through all my awards, that was my most proudest one to win because it proved I can make it in the business. The 5 and the 10 just proves you're dumb enough to stay in it long enough. but it was kind of neat, Cody. I don't know if you had a chance to hang out afterwards, but there was a lot of activity last night, Bill, because we were at a downtown hotel, right, kind of up the street from the Blue Jackets Arena, Nationwide Arena. We went out afterwards after the ball, and there was just some electricity. You know, Blue Jackets playing well, and holiday season, and the first snowfall of the season. It was kind of a fun night over in the West, St. Louis and LA. LA has overtaken the Vegas team, so we'll see what happens out there. But long way to go. But you're going to start seeing a lot more things. Wow, there is serious things going on in this game right now. You guys aren't watching it, but a Seahawks guy just tried to go in the stands and fight a fan.
A little Ron Artest.
Wow, actually. I was going to say, yeah.
You know, but. You know, they have about seven coaches pulling him back, and they're now the fans are just taunting him as they drag him off the field. But it's out of control in Jacksonville. Jags are going to win it.
They're in the victory formation. So this is weird that they're letting all this kind of go on.
Yeah, well, they were in victory formation three times, and the interior lineman of the Seahawks just kind of came across the center just to hit Bortles. You know, even though all he was doing was kneeling and standing up. So, guys, NBA has kind of been a league of runs lately. Let me just kind of run through the division leaders. Boston is leading the East. And Toronto coming off, they've on a 6-game winning streak. Cavs did have a loss to break their 10-game winning streak. They're now 9-1 in their last 10. And just a shout out to the 76ers, eighth place now. So they are, starting to show some signs there with their youth. And then over in the West, listen to this. Houston leading the West on a 9-game winning streak. Golden State in second on a 6-game winning streak. And the Spurs in third on a 4-game winning streak, including just beating the Celtics last night. So anything jumping out to either of you guys?
I got to call out Todd because I think the Cavs were 5-7, Sean, when he made a comment to the effect like, yeah, I don't know if Cleveland's got it this year. It's going to be a struggle. I'm not sure. And, I'm throwing him under the bus. Actually, I'm throwing him under the boat, I guess we'll say, since he's cruising. But, then they rattle off 11 straight or 12 straight, right? They get to 17-7. I think they're now 17-8 or 18-8. So, I guess we're not going to worry too much about the Cavs, right?
Where do you think they sit if they're in the West versus the East? You know,
it is brutal. Yeah, they're not going to be they're probably 3 or 4, somewhere in that range. Yeah, I think. Maybe 2. But, I think at the end of the year in the West, it's going to be Golden State again.
It's just such a huge difference when you're only playing Golden State twice a year.
True.
You're only playing Houston twice a year. You're only playing the Spurs twice a year. And I think, in conference, you're playing, 8 times a year? You're 4-4 of your opponents?
In your division, right? And then in conference, it gets 2-2. Does that make sense?
Makes a big difference.
Yeah, so. It does. Yeah, they beat each other up pretty well in the West, except the last couple of years, Golden State. So.
Yeah. So, haven't seen anything else. I've just been kind of watching the Sixers, just having some good games. They almost had the Cavs. They should have had the Cavs last night. They were up, I think, 5 with, a minute and a half to go, and just shot selection went completely downhill and defense non-existent. And LeBron just kind of picked his way to the open man, hit Dwayne Wade on a nice baseline release. And they won that one.
Little triple-double for LeBron, right? 30, yep. 13, and 13 or something like that.
Yeah. Yep.
Makes it look easy.
He does.
Quite triple-double.
Yep. That's right.
So last night, college football, for the most part, is almost done. We'll finish the show starting our college football bowl picks, Bill. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, the traditional Army-Navy game, always kind of a cool spectacle. I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of it. I kind of watched a little bit at the beginning. Saw the joint choral groups sing the national anthem, which was a really great version of the national anthem. Army in a snowy Lincoln Financial Field hangs on to win their second in a row after they lose 11 in a row coming into last year. Kind of a tough penalty at the end of the game there, pushes the Navy kicker back 5 yards and he misses just wide left. They lose 14-13. Did you catch any of that, Bill?
Kind of the middle of the fourth quarter, we were en route to a winter boat parade on in Vinoy Marina. Stopped by real quick and checked it out, but didn't see the end. So tell me how that thing wrapped up.
Well, Cody, were you already down at the?
Yeah, I was down there early and got a chance to catch some of the highlights, which was nice. But I took Navy in the game and saw that he missed the field goal. So, I mean, it's nice to see a good, back and forth between the teams now with it not being so one-sided. But
right. Yeah, long story short, Bill, Navy was down a point. They kind of busted out a long run, got themselves in field goal territory, and then they were just kind of trying to burn some clock, and they had an offensive lineman false start, pushed them back 5 yards. There was snow on the field. It was icy. It was cold. And the kicker just – he just missed it wide left by maybe 2 balls width, So tough way to finish. You feel horrible for the kid, but I think any of us would appreciate that kid and what he's going to do for our country moving forward. So
right.
Just a cool story and always proud. And then obviously it always happens during our close president's ball, cause I've snuck out many times to watch the announcement. Not a big surprise in the Heisman Trophy, but Baker Mayfield becomes the first walk-on to ever win the Heisman Trophy. He won big over Bryce Love out of Stanford, and then last year's winner Lamar Jackson finishes a distant third. Saquon Barkley was a very, very distant fourth. So interesting how much changes in a couple of weeks, Bill. You know, we go back 4 or 5 episodes, and you know, we think Saquon Barkley is, you know,
yeah, and walk away with it. If I'm right, Baker Mayfield didn't walk on at Oklahoma, right?
No.
Yeah, he walked on at either Texas A&M or Texas Tech or one of the Texas.
Yeah.
But always loved Oklahoma growing up, and when the opportunity, you know, presented itself, he was I'm sure he was giddy to go, and look what happened. That's awesome. That's a great story.
Yeah, so it should be neat to see what happens. And you know, there's only been 4. I think it was an Aflac question during the Iron Bowl, but only 4 Heisman Trophy winners have gone on to win the national championship in the last 25 years. Can you name them?
In the last 25 years.
What a question. Oh, okay.
I'll fill the dead air with weird noises, like thinking. Noises.
I'll give you a hint. Tebow is not one of them, because Tebow won it between his 2 national championship years.
Wow.
He won it his sophomore year when he was 7-5. Cam Newton is one of them.
Cam is one.
Mark Ingram?
Mark Ingram's one of them.
Okay. I'm done. I got one. I'm happy. It's college football. That's your stuff.
Danny Werfel was one of them.
Okay. Wow.
Spurrier days.
And the tough one was that I didn't get Derrick Henry from Alabama.
Oh, just recently.
Yeah, just recently.
Yeah, okay.
2 years ago. So interesting. So we'll see. Oklahoma, I saw today, is a 1-point favorite as of today over Georgia, and Alabama is a 2-point favorite over Clemson. So you got, you know, it's nice to see two really tight spreads on those games there. And in college, I guess a couple other things that happened. Jeremy Pruitt got named the coach at Tennessee, defensive coordinator for Alabama. He is going to continue to coach through the rest of their season, whether they win against Clemson or move on to the championship game. He will continue to recruit and do all of his tasks there, just like Scott Frost is doing for Nebraska. And then Willie Taggart left Oregon. He's going to go down to Florida State and coach the Seminoles
What do you guys think of Taggart? What are your initial thoughts?
I think he's a hell of a recruiter. You know, that's been his MO. You know, he knows the South. I think he's gonna be a good hire. I think, you know, 3 programs, and if you want to add in UCF, and then you know they got Josh Heupel, Charlie Strong. Looks like Bill is gonna stay at USF.
Yep.
You got 5 or 6 programs now in Florida with Lane Kiffin at FAU, Rick at you know, you got a 5 or 6 programs that are going to garner attention. That also means 5 or 6 programs that are going to be in kids' living rooms, trying to get them to come to the programs.
Yeah. It's always been that way, right? I'm sure every school's tried, but now they've got coaches where the parents and the kids are going to sit and listen, right?
Yeah.
You're going to entertain those offers and think about it, you know, before just running off to Florida State. And now that Miami's relevant again, you know, I think UCF, USF, like you said, FIU, it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Should be interesting. All right, guys, let's hit on NFL today. Did you happen to see any of the Bills game? I couldn't stop watching it. It was an absolute snow globe of a game.
Blizzard. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a blizzard to the point that there was about, they were, you know, during the timeouts, they were blowing and shoveling the lines and the hash marks. So you could sort of see the field, but it was, Cody, I got to guess it was 6 to 8 inches thick by the end of the game. I mean, they were having a hard time moving, you know, running the ball.
I don't know if I've seen a game like that, probably dating back to the Tuck Rule game, Brady and the Patriots playing the Raiders in the playoffs that year. So,
you know, Steve Tasker was on the sidelines. I was watching on DirecTV, and Steve Tasker was on the sidelines, and he said he's lived in Buffalo 30 years, and he said he's never ever seen it that tough of playing conditions.
Well, Bill's Mafia was out in full force.
They were.
Watching LeSean McCoy run in that the winner in overtime, I mean, I was marveling at how deep his feet were going into the snow, right?
Yeah.
They were completely disappearing up above the ankle. That was very impressive. So
there was a couple plays. Jacoby Brissett led his receiver a little too deep in the end zone, and the guy dove for the ball. He actually caught it, but he landed in this huge snowbank. I mean, it was probably didn't hurt at all. But I tweeted out a question. I would have been interested to see a replay. But I asked Mike Pereira on Twitter, I asked is a player considered down when he touches the top of the snow or when he touches the turf underneath? And how would you know when he touches the turf underneath? So it would have been interesting if there would have been a fumble to say, like, when was he down? Because is the ground then where the ground is at the moment? Or is the ground still underneath the hidden snow? It would have been a really interesting.
Yeah.
He never tweeted me back, but I'd be really curious to know, you know, same thing with, you know, if a guy drags his foot going out of bounds and it, you can clearly see it dragging through the snow, but you don't see it underneath hitting the ground. Can you rule it a completion, you know? So.
Yeah. Or like, when's your knee down? If a guy's trying to reach out for the goal line, which you can't see the goal line or anything in that. Imagine. Yeah. Fortunately, they didn't have those sorts of play.
I'll tell you. Did you see that? Did you see how the Bill or the Colts tied it up?
No.
So they're down 7-0 and really it's pretty much just, they were just driving back and forth between the 30s, you know, and then they punt. Yeah. And then they get, you know, so the Colts score with about 2 minutes to go and they decide to go for two because they're like, the kicking is so unbelievably hard. You can't figure out where to put the ball. They go for two and get it. But then they call a pick play on the Colts because the guy blocked his man within 1 yard of the line of scrimmage. It was kind of a bullshit call, but he didn't continue running his route after he blocked the guy. So they said it was definitely a pick. So they push it back 10 yards plus then the distance for the, so Vinatieri has to come on and kick a 42 yard extra point. Yeah. Right.
This is where I saw all the players clear.
Yeah. And they're all clearing the thing. And then they realized they were clearing the grass before the penalty. So they had to then clear the grass again. They called the timeout. They brought pretty much the whole team out, and then the referee said the team couldn't come out there to help, only the players on the field. Long story short, he kicks this ball that was way right, and the wind and the hook draws it back in. If you watch the replay, you'll see all the Bills fans, all the Bills players are celebrating, and he missed it. And he turns out he made it, and then he missed a shot at the end of the game. He had it straight on, but then the wind carried it left. That would have won it, and then they lose in overtime. What else did you guys see today? I saw the Bengals get blown out. Cody, I don't know that now that you're here in Columbus, if you've jumped on either of the NFL teams.
I was a little disappointed in Fox. You know, they're getting blown out, and Cleveland's working on securing their first win, and then obviously didn't happen today. But, you know, I was a little discouraged that Fox didn't tune it over a little sooner prior to it going to overtime. I was watching it on other venues, but I think for most of the people here in Central Ohio, they were probably a little pissed off to see Cincinnati getting their doors blown off and having to hear these two announcers just go back and forth for nothing.
Yeah, you know that. Let's talk about Cincinnati twice this week because Monday night, I'd love to get your guys' take. Bill, let me start with you. Did you happen to see any of the Monday night bloodbath of a game between the Steelers and the Bengals?
That game or that, you know, like tonight's another great game, right? You got the Ravens and the Steelers, another great rivalry. But I don't expect to see any of that. But boy, every time the Bengals play the Steelers, it's not just chippy. It gets vicious, ugly. You know, obviously the situation with Shazier is crazy because they're not telling us how he's doing. And that's really weird, right? I don't think it bodes well. I think they're really struggling to try and find a way to at least see if he can get – I think we're in the situation where maybe we're just hoping he can walk again, but I don't think he's playing football again.
No. Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, and but then just some of the other shots. I mean, look, I'll give it up for Juju Smith-Schuster. Well, I don't want – you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'll give it up to him for going after Perfect because, like, I was going to all those games when Vontaze played for ASU.
Yeah.
He was – getting penalized left and right there as well. That's just who he is.
Yeah.
Which is why the Bengals took him, right? Because that's what the Bengals do.
that's right.
And so it was weird to hear Gruden just talk about that game, you know, in the tone that he talked about that game, right? He to hear Rodney Harrison talk about some of that stuff and say his kids aren't going to play football.
Yeah.
That's powerful stuff.
Yeah, it was and then it was weird because – you know, also remember last week was the very cheap shot by Gronk, right, on the defenseless player laying down. He gets a one-game suspension. Juju Smith gets a one-game suspension. And then the guy that I forget the guy's name, Cody, you might remember it, in the end zone that helmet-to-helmet on Antonio Brown. And then his one-game suspension gets overturned. for some reason. I didn't understand their thought process on that. Did you guys hear anything from the NFL and what they said, why they did that?
I did not.
I didn't either. You know, and I think they don't have any specific standard. I think to, you know, when it comes to that game, especially everybody's kind of on alert in general. And it kind of reminds you of the, you know, when Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree go at it, of course, a couple of weeks ago. So, right. And then the Jacksonville game earlier today, obviously with the fights going out.
Yeah.
So.
The annex at the end. Right now. Yeah. I did, you know, you say what you want, but you know, the Bengals fans that are saying, you know, that the referees took that one from us, you know, they, 173 yards of penalties. Yeah. That's just at some point in time, you got to be disciplined and play the game because, you know, I think everybody knew as soon as they went into overtime, that game was going to.
Yeah. I think Cincinnati has the talent. They just, you know, the coaching aspect of it. Marvin Lewis is probably on his ninth life here.
Yeah. I think he's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, especially after this loss today. Mm-hmm. And then up in Cleveland, Cody, you kind of hinted on it. Bill, the Browns were close. They had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter over the non-Aaron Rodgers-led Green Bay Packers, and they could not hold it. They could not hold it. And I think as soon as you saw the replay of Njoku's third down catch that was ruled a catch, would have been a first down, would have been able to almost run out the clock. Nope, it was overturned. He fumbled the ball, or he dropped the ball. They punt. And all they have to do is stop and make the guy go 80 some yards. And what do? They give up a 65 yard punt return.
Right.
Green Bay goes down, scores. Kizer throws the most ill-advised overtime pass you've ever seen on third and seven, where he's getting sacked. So he decides to throw it up in the air. It goes like 40 yards in the air and it gets intercepted. And then, you know, Green Bay wins the game. So did you see the stat? So what's the name of the QB now there at Green Bay?
Brett Hundley. Yeah, from UCLA.
Hundley, yeah. Hundley's now 2-0 in NFL overtime games. Aaron Rodgers is 1-7 in overtime games.
Here's my Cleveland Browns stat. And, Sean, this is for Matthew Shadbolt. So we'll make sure we hit him up when he meets New York. But they have won 4 of their last 45 games. And that breaks the record because I can't remember the team, but it was way back in the 30s or 40s. But sitting at only winning 4 of 44, they had one. If they lose one more game, they've tied the all-time record for futility over a span of games, and that's just unbelievable. So, my heart goes out to think about a guy. You might know the story, and Cody, I'll let you know this. Matthew Shadbolt's with Inman, Inman News, and we'll see him in New York at the Inman Connect event. He's growing up in Yeovil Town, Somerset area of London, England. I'm sorry, just kind of southwest of London. And he starts watching American football, and he happens to catch the Cleveland Browns when they had some relevance. They had the icky shuffle, and you know they were winning, and they were going to they lost to the Broncos on the drive. All this great stuff's happening, and he decides to become a Browns fan at that moment in time. And that was not a good choice.
Yeah.
It could have been any other team, but he loved the gritty urban feel of the team and just, you know, the guys in the dog pound. He loved that whole thing. And to this day, he's a diehard Browns fan, but ouch.
There would have to be a lot of beer drinking. I could not do it.
Mm. Cody, what are the games jumped out at you today? Did you see any great plays? Did you see any, you know, I'm looking at Kansas City, rights to ship. And they're now tied with the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm excited. I didn't get a chance to catch too many today, but I'm very excited. They're playing on Thursday night. Is that correct? The Chargers and the Chiefs. If I'm
correct. No. Thursday night's the dud game. Thursday night is Denver and the Jets. Or no, Denver and Thursday night's a bad game.
Okay, so they are on Sunday.
No, they're playing Saturday.
But I think they're playing Saturday. That's what threw me off. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, the Chargers always seem to find a way to start out either very terrible and then find their way at the end of the year, just sneaking their way in. And it's I think they started 0-4, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
and then just seeing the two ways that, that both of those teams have went throughout the year, with the Chiefs having such a such a hot start, and then you know, the Chargers starting out really slow, and they've just kind of went in opposite directions. So,
yep,
yep.
Bill, your Buccaneers eliminated from playoff contention today.
Yeah, just some really odd, weird calls in that game. Nothing that really affected the outcome, but just I like pointing them out. Another, I called it an Ed Hockley moment on Twitter, because when I was a Charger fan back in the day, yeah, guns out, Hockley. When I was a Charger fan, when they were in San Diego, there was a brutal call at the end of a game in Denver against the Broncos that absolutely cost the Chargers the game. They completely screwed up the call, admitted it afterwards, but nothing you can do. Chargers lose the game. Today in the Buccaneers game, they had another thing, and I don't know, Hockley happened to be the referee. But imagine a receiver catching the ball and then being drilled at the same time with, you know, like unnecessary roughness. And then the ball popping out, and a clear fumble recovery. But what was the play? Was it – because if it's going to be ruled a catch and then a fumble, you can't have the penalty. And they went through this thing. It took about 5 minutes of going back to New York and doing all this stuff and figuring it out, where a play was turned around against the Buccaneers. And at the end of the play, it was a recovery by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of a catch and fumble with no penalty, because you can only have that unnecessary roughness or hitting a defenseless receiver if he doesn't catch it. If he catches the ball, he's not a defenseless receiver anymore. He's considered, you know, a runner.
A runner.
And right. You can hit him however you want at that point, right? So – yeah, it's just weird. And once it's just weird that Hockley's on the field, you know, while this is happening again. But I'm telling you, the Bucks, once again, they came back to tie this game 21-21. They were in good position, and you know, Jameis just couldn't get the job done again. Yeah. And you know, look, Stafford had a great game for a guy who supposedly had a right hand who was injured, two fingers taped up on his throwing hand. He had a great day. So, you know, hats off to the line.
Yeah. The Bucks, they're just right there every year, it seems like. And you know, that NFC South has been back and forth the past couple of years anyway. So
let's actually talk about that. Little shout out to Todd's team, because the Falcons won a must win game on Thursday over the Saints. They had their mistakes in that game, but they got a late interception on maybe a questionable throw by Drew Brees, which you don't say too often, because he usually can find windows that most of us can't see. But late interception to kind of hold off. And now with Carolina's win, I think it's pretty clear that two of those teams, one of them will be the division champ and one of them will be a wild card. And will the third get in, because they all play each other so much in the next 3 weeks. It's going to be interesting to really see who can get that upper hand. You know, Carolina, that was a big win over a very good Vikings team.
I was blown away that Jonathan Stewart had three touchdowns and ran for as many yards as he did, because that defense has shut everybody down.
Yeah.
Really impressive win. You know, I got to share a story. It's, you know, it's storytelling, right, Sean? We're just telling stories, right? So the Teddy Bruschi was talking about, someone asked about Phillip Rivers, because of this comeback, and Cody, you mentioned it, that when back in the day when they were in San Diego, the Chargers started 0-4, the Broncos were 6-0 under, who's the coach who is back at New England?
Reeves?
No.
Oh, Josh McDaniel.
Josh McDaniel. I remember he beat the Patriots to go 6-0 on a Monday night. And he was like hooting down the field the whole way, and just being all that, you know. Belichick's probably just watching me going, you know, whatever. They're 6-0. The Chargers ended up winning that division at 8-8. So the 6-0 Broncos, they came back. The Chargers won the final three games of the season. The Broncos lost the last three, and the Chargers won the division. So you never know, right? But Phillip Rivers is obviously. Loves to trash talk, right? We see it all the time. And he's that quarterback, when he's on your team, you love him, and just about everybody else thinks he's a jerk.
Sure.
They asked Bruschi, they said, did you ever get into it with Rivers? He goes, oh yeah, sure. I mean, Phillip would just be barking across the line of scrimmage from the, you know, from the huddle at us. And Bruschi was asked, did you ever, you know, what did he say? He goes, some things I can say, some things I can't. But he said, but the best comeback ever was Vrabel. The linebacker Vrabel for the Patriots. At one point, Phillip just wouldn't shut up, and Vrabel just yells out. He goes, "Phillip, everyone on this field right now knows you're not going to be better than Drew Brees. That was the comeback. Not only were the Patriots cracking up, but half the guys in the Charger huddle were cracking up as well.
Oh,
so,
man.
I just thought that was one of the best comebacks.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. Anyway. So we got, as you tease, the game that is going to come on as soon as we're done recording this show, you got the kind of the AFC North classic. You know, you got the Steelers-Ravens. Always a tough game. It's in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh wins tonight. Then New England is going to need to hold serve tomorrow night against the Dolphins without Gronk. Should be able to do it. They're outscoring teams big time in the league, and that sets up a quite the showdown next week. That's it's the late game on the late afternoon slot, which means, you know, dark by the end of the first quarter in Pittsburgh. Will be very interesting to see what happens there. But something I'm excited about, guys, we have our Thursday night game. It's a crap game. I think it's the Colts versus the Broncos. So it's just a game that you won't need to watch, but we get our first Saturday games. It's always neat when NFL, they flex two games in a Saturday. The Bears play at the Lions, and the Lions will need to win that game to keep their playoff hopes alive after beating the Bucks today. And then as you teased, Chargers at Kansas City. You know, those teams are tied now in a tie for the West. I believe they've still played twice to finish the season, right? They play this week in Kansas City and then last week of the season in
San Diego.
LA?
In LA. Yeah.
Oh, are they doing a special game? Are they doing a...
Oh, you're killing me. Go ahead.
Yeah, so...
You mean where they might get more than 24,000 people at a game?
I know, right?
Well, yeah, that's right.
Did you see the... not the Rams, the... I believe it's the Chargers. They sent out a casting call looking for extras.
I want to tell you this too. I watched the game today. It was now, you know, we had that the late game coverage. I had it on. We did this back at Qualcomm back in the day, where you tarped off half of the upper deck with really. Sure. They're tarping off the upper sections of a stadium that holds 27,000 people.
Wow.
What does that tell you? And they're 7-2 in their last 9 games, and they're tarping off empty sections of seats so it doesn't look so bad on television. It's bad. So
yeah, definitely interesting. So anything else in the NFL that you want to hit on, guys? Otherwise, let's go to let's kick off our 2017-18 stare down bowl pool. Once again, we just pick straight up. We don't go against.
Before we go there, can I give one shout out to a favorite team of mine?
Of course, yeah.
I want to give a big shout out to Bobby Hurley and the ASU Sun Devils.
Yes,
going into the Allen Fieldhouse at Kansas and beating the Jayhawks 95-85.
Yeah, big win. Yeah, that was huge.
They were down, Sean, 15-2 to start the game, the Devils.
Wow.
Just hung around, stuck in there, took care of business, didn't panic. I don't think you will panic with Hurley running that team. By the way, I'm sure we all know he's a Dukie. Okay, I'll let it go. But And 1993 national champions, you know. In Indianapolis, right? I think it was just fun to watch that game. And so the Aztecs, the Sun Devils are now 9-0. They were ranked 16. I'm sure they're going to move up.
They're going to slide up. Yeah, because the Gators are going to drop after losing 3 in a row. They righted the ship against Cincinnati. As Cody hit on earlier, Duke goes down to a good effort by Boston College.
By the way, they're in last place in the ACC.
Yes.
Yeah, because you have a 1-0 BC. Everybody else is even at 0-0, and Duke is 0-1. It won't last.
Right. Yeah. So it looks like Michigan State will slide up into that top spot. Villanova won again today. So Nova could jump up to number one because they're undefeated. But always we're going to get into that really fun time of college hoops and coming right out of New Year's where a lot of the league games start to play.
Yeah, conference play, yeah.
Some of the conference games already started, though, with Big Ten playing a couple because they sold out and they're going to play they're doing something in Madison Square Garden at the end of the season. I didn't really understand that. A lot of the Big Ten already started playing. So, all right, so here's what we're going to do. Todd, who's on his cruise, he sent in his picks. Bill, you are the reigning champion, so we'll let you pick first on these games. But we just are going to go down the games, and Cody, we'll let you pick, and then maybe we'll get your picks for next week, either on the listener line or we'll get them off air, just so you can sort of represent the stare down audience. Okay, you'll be the pressure this year of representing the Stare Down audience. We'll start with Saturday's games. The R&L Carrier New Orleans Bowl, Bill. We have Troy giving 6 points to North Texas. Once again, points I'm just saying for reference.
Right.
But we're going straight up. Todd has picked Troy Trojans. I have picked the Troy Trojans. Bill, let's get your pick. You like Troy or North Texas Green Wave?
I'll go with Troy.
Troy, all right. And Cody, who do you think there?
Yeah, I've got to go with Troy on this one. They've had a good year.
Yep, they won at LSU, so that's a good feather in their cap. The Mean Green of North Texas gets no picks here. The Auto Nation Cure Bowl, that's Western Kentucky versus Georgia State. Western Kentucky giving 4.5 points to Georgia State. Todd went with Georgia State. Not a surprise. He resides in the state of Georgia. Cody, let's get your pick. You like Georgia State or Western Kentucky?
I'm going to go a little different here. We're going to go Western Kentucky.
All right, Western Kentucky. I vote for the Hilltoppers. Bill, who you got?
Georgia State.
Georgia State. All right, and I'm going to go Western Kentucky as well. The Las Vegas Bowl out in the Sin City. We have Boise State versus Oregon. Oregon with their new coach, Matt Cristobal. I like their headline. It says, Ducks look to crystal ball for future. I thought that was a cute headline. Oregon State giving 6.5 points, so almost a touchdown favorite for the Pac-12. Oregon State over the Western or Mountain West Conference champion, Boise State. Or actually, runner-ups because they lost to Fresno. Yeah. Todd's going with Boise. I'm going with Oregon. Cody, let's get your pick.
We're going to go Boise here.
BSU, okay. And Bill, who do you think?
I'm going to go Pac-12 with Oregon.
All right, so we got split on that one.
Yep.
Can the Ducks and the new coach – you know, I picked Oregon because I just think those kids are going to be out to impress their new coach and maybe get some playing time. But once again, Boise State going up against that big Power 5 school sometimes likes to send a message to say, don't forget about us.
Right.
Let's go down to the home of Breaking Bad, the Gildan New Mexico Bowl. you got Marshall Thundering Herd going up against Colorado State Rams. So you have the Herd and the Rams. Todd went Colorado State. I went Marshall. Cody, give me your pick.
Thundering Herd.
All right, Marshall.
I keep siding with that Meininger kid. I'm going to go Colorado State as well. The Rams, they're just a tough team. I've always liked them, and they're going to be closer. They'll travel better. They'll have a lot of people there. So
yeah. Okay, good. And then finally, the last game that next Saturday is the Raycom Media Bowl. You have Middle Tennessee State versus Arkansas State. So it's the middle of Tennessee's State University versus the middle of Arkansas's State University. We got Arkansas State versus Middle Tennessee State. Todd and I are split. Todd's going with Middle Tennessee. I'm going Arkansas State. Bill, let me get your pick.
I'll go Arkansas State on this one.
Ark State.
Yep.
And how about you, Cody?
I'm going to go Ark State as well.
All right, so that's one that we're 3-1 on. All right, so Cody, thanks for picking on behalf of the Stare Down Nation. We'll keep this running, and then Bill, we'll do our big picks next week at the end of the show. Run through all the other games, including the playoff games, and then we'll reset those like we did last year. We'll do a special championship game Stare Down episode before that game when we see who's matching up. In the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's not in the Peach Bowl, but the championship game will be held in Atlanta. So let's wrap up like we always do. Cody, we as a listener, you know, we wrap up, kind of talk about our week in real estate because this is the Sports Talk and Real Estate show. Tell us what you got going on this week as we close out. We get ready to close out 2017 here with 3 weeks to go before the ball drops. What do you got coming up on your week this week?
Kind of a quiet week this week. I met with I got a new business coach last week. And I think coming out of a good weekend, just all about planning and getting some things together for the first quarter. Got a couple of things in line, and just going to kind of coast until we get through holiday time here.
Good. Let me pick your brain for a second, because Bill works with a lot of real estate agents across the state of Florida, and he knows a ton around the country. What was your decision to hire a business coach, and kind of how did you decide on the person that you chose to partner up with?
Obviously, I think the track record is huge. And I don't know how, some agents do it, but I want somebody to come in there and don't fluff it up. Just give me a straight answer and tell me what I'm doing wrong. Tell me what I need to improve on. And I think any sales job, you kind of have to have somebody that's a third party on the outside looking in, just to kind of show you where some of your deficiencies are. And then you can kind of decide if you want to work on those or you really want to just double down on what you're really good at in business. So,
okay. And this person kind of made a point that they can help you get to that next level.
Absolutely. Good. So I'm excited for 2018. We've got some big goals in line. So
good. Well, let me put you on the spot here and we can have it recorded. So this year, your second full year in the business, you did 18 transactions. And what was your volume this year?
Just over 3.8 million.
Okay. Just over 3.8. So good. So for our stare down audience, you're hearing it here first. What's our numbers for next year? Call your shot, Cody. How many closings and what volume?
We're going to double the transactions.
Wow. 36. That's big.
36. And I would like to get to at least 7.5 million, for the course of the year. So, some lofty goals and something I'll have to keep in line with,
keep it grinding.
Now that we got Cody, can I ask you some more questions? Are you all right with this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Little grill Cody time. So with 36 new transactions, have you already gone through the process of saying, you know, kind of figuring out how many of those transactions are going to come from referrals or, you know, yes, sphere, how many are coming from different types of prospecting and how you're going to attack all those pieces? You already worked your way through that?
Absolutely. Coldwell does a great job with business planning. You know, and I think what I mentioned earlier, getting to the point where you've got a full year under your belt and kind of seeing where your business came from, what you're really comfortable with, and some things that you're not as comfortable with, just getting that in line and looking back, seeing where it's come from, and then trying to harp on that. And then just work with the people you know, like you and trust you. So, I've got that broken down and, I've got it on my desk every day. So I look at it. So it's a constant reminder that, you know, where the business needs to come from and then just kind of, making sure you do it day in and day out. So
yeah, consistency, right?
It's going to be absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Cool. You know, it's amazing. You know, you don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. You just got to do it on a consistent basis and continue to harp on it and sharpen that saw.
Yeah, you know, Cody, you probably heard me say it and when I came in and spoke in ProStart, but you mentioned the words know, like, and trust. And I think when you can build that cult-like following, you know, when people know you, like you, and trust you, and you earn trust every day, whether you're, you know, 20-year veteran like me or multi-year veteran like Bill or couple-year veteran like you, you know, there's three C's to trust. There's confidence, there's competence, and as Bill, you said, consistency. And if you can be confident in what you're doing, if you can be competent in what you do, know your stuff, and you can do it consistently, I think you can earn people's trust day in and day out. The more trust you earn, the more referrals you get. So that's awesome. Bill, any follow-up questions for the kid?
No, I'm busy tweeting out what you just said. Hold on.
The 20-year rookie.
Are we done asking? Are we done grilling Cody? I think I'm done. Yeah.
Okay, good. Right, good. No more questions. Is that your final answer?
For now, yeah.
Bill, tell me about your week. I really enjoyed our mutual good friend, Matt Ferrara. He had a great conversation with Matthew. I know who's coming up this week, and I'm excited, but why don't you give a little, what'd you think of Matthew? I know you talked to him probably a little more than just what you cut on the air. Sharp guy, isn't he?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. More than sharp. Brilliant. Yeah, really interesting too. Just a great storyteller, great stories to tell. You know, I really enjoyed that. So that, thank you for making that connection.
You know, did you talk to him? One of his kind of paradigm shifting topics that he does is he does a creative writing class, and he forces the agents and the attendees to kind of, there's like silence in the room, and he forces you to kind of write out, you know, almost like what's your story, and it's kind of a neat exercise, and it's one that I think he really enjoys. You know, it's a creative writing class. You don't think you go to real estate audience events to see that type of topic, but the people that go to it really enjoy it.
Well, I don't know how long he's been doing it, but it's even more important today than it's ever been, right? Mm-hmm. When you have all these opportunities to tell your story and all the different places you can share that story or all the different opportunities where you can pull that story out and bring it into play with whatever you're doing. I think it's critical. So he's just kind of ahead of the game. It's just been it was really fun. But I don't know if you know for sure who my next guest is because with the holidays coming, I have three podcasts to edit. I've been interviewing people like crazy because I want to kind of take off the last 2 weeks myself and not have to worry about getting a show ready.
Okay.
So next, this Tuesday, my guest for episode 119 is Imran Palati.
Nice.
Of Next Home.
I know all three of the ones you got in the can.
You do. You do. And there's nothing I don't mind sharing. I mean, I talked to Alexandra Filiacci. I talked to Ryan Bocross. And I'm interviewing Alyssa Hellman next week. So I'll have everything set that gets me all the way up to the first week of January. And I think it's, but Imran's is great. Another great story. You talk about a guy who, you know, came from, you know, very humble beginnings and had his ups and downs in the business until he figured out exactly how you operate a business. And then, you know, to take that knowledge to the brokerages that are out there that they work with now when they come to the Next Home team, it's pretty cool.
And so with Matthew and then Imran, you're going to have two cancer survivors in a row.
Absolutely. Yeah. We talk about, and you know me, I love talking about that story with people to find out, you know, how it changed them, how it happened. And Imran's is a very tough story. I mean, both of them went through cancer twice. And Imran's second bout was not easy. And it's interesting to hear him talk about it and how he approached it. So that'll be
He's one of the bright lights of our industry. He's a great guy. Cody, if you ever get a chance to meet Imran Palati, he's with Next Home right now. A really good guy and a good member of our industry.
Yeah.
And just another shout out. I say it all the time, but if you're not listening to the Real Estate Sessions podcast, you need to pause this session right now on whatever you're listening to, Overcast, Stitcher, or iTunes, and go subscribe to it, because Bill he's an absolutely fantastic interviewer, and he brings on the best of the best in the industry. So whether you are a agent, a title rep, a mortgage advisor, a manager, a broker, an owner, Real Estate Sessions is on your must listen to list.
Thank you.
No problem, bud. Guys, for me, my travel season is done. I finished my last event on the road in Philadelphia this past week, I flew into Philadelphia, but I was in Atlantic City. I had a great time with Sharon Steele and George Krause and some of the crew from Cole Banker. I saw some of my good friends from other brokerages, but I am I'm done. I might do one or two more webinars before the end of the year. But Bill, my final tally for speaking gigs this year, 55. Double nickels.
Wow. That's impressive. Yeah. So let's put you on the spot, Sean. So you did 55 engagements. We're not going to talk about revenue, but you did 55 engagements. If you wanted to, you know, obviously you need to have a plan for next year, much like Cody has to have a plan for next year.
That's right.
If you had a number and something you're trying to gear towards and work towards, what's your number for speaking engagements for 2018?
So this year, my number was 52. I wanted to get 52.
One a week.
Perfect. I wanted to basically do one a week, and I got 55 speaking and 12 sales. All right.
Yes. So, good.
I think I'm going to push it to 75 next year. So 75 of somethings.
And increase the number of sales as well.
I feel like I put a lot of seeds in the ground over the last 15 months since I got back in the business that are going to start busting through the dirt and showing some seeds. I'm spending some time in the next day working on my business plan. Stephanie Sersland, who's been a guest on your show, Bill, is a mentor of mine, and she kind of serves as my unofficial kind of manager coach on both the speaking and the real estate. We kind of overlay those because they really work together. So I'm going to be working on that and kind of starting to whiteboard up. I got about 13 things either booked or in the works for early 2018. So I'm excited. And so this next week for me is a lot of digging into Contactually and handwritten notes and texts and phone calls and sending out sending out ideas saying like, hey, if you need a high energy speaker, consider me.
Do you have a sizzle reel yet?
I don't. That's one of the things I might even reach out to JC Reidman and see if she might be able to shoot some video for me, because she's really good at what she does.
Yeah.
But I need to get that little speaking reel early, just so I have something to go to.
Yeah. Where haven't you been that you'd like to go?
So there's six. Great question, Cody. There's six states on my must visit list that I haven't been to. So three I figure I could knock out in one trip if the timing works out well. I haven't been to Vermont, New Hampshire, or Maine. So I could do that in one day. In theory, I could hit all three of those in one day.
Right.
I've never been to Oklahoma. I've never been to Oregon. I've never been to Alaska. So those would be the six states I'd love to get an opportunity to speak in, whether it's a real estate brand, a state convention, or a city. there are some, you know, some of the bigger states, San Diego, Hawaii, it was always neat to, you know, get out to there. And I got an early nibble on an opportunity in Hawaii. But it's kind of, you know, it's a busy time now because the state conventions, which are in September and October, start booking everything in January and February. Right. So they know what they're doing. So this next few weeks for me is a lot of, like I said, just handwritten notes and texts and Facebook messages and just trying to get my name in that pool of consideration. So I'm excited, guys. But hey, Bill, last thoughts before we thank Cody for jumping on the loyal listener line.
No, Cody, thank you so much for joining us today. And hopefully, like I said, when Todd's here, jump in. You know, I think ultimately we'd like to make this a whole lot of people. It'd be a lot.
Yeah. The whole goal is just we're talking sports. We're just not in the same room. So
exactly.
Thanks for jumping on with us. Keep up the good work. Bill, on behalf of Bill and our friend Todd, thanks for listening to the Stare Down.